episode of the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 13. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Manoah saw he was God, but we're going to die. I think of Isaiah who says, "Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips." The first thing he thought of was what he had said out loud, what he had thought in his thoughts and then allowed to go out into the marketplace of ideas. And it broke his heart. Charles Swindoll used to say he thinks that he maybe had a problem cussing. But you know, there are different kinds of sins of the tongue, right? Sins of the tongue, like talking badly about something, hurting somebody, wounding somebody, gossip. We talk about back in the day, I had a guy in Pennsylvania who did the books, and he went through all the books in a Baptist church there from back 150 years ago. People were excommunicated for things like gossip and dancing, things like that. They would excommunicate. This was a time when things were a lot more, what you might call spit and polish, sit up straight in the Lord's house kind of time. And so what does he say? He says, "We're going to die. We're going to die." His wife said, "No, if he were pleased to kill us, he wouldn't have told us all the stuff he told us. And he wouldn't have received your offering." Now, when I go to the Father, I go to the Father through Jesus, right? When we pray in Jesus' name, don't take that as a token ending. Really connect with the reality. It's like having a check with no signature on it. You know, there's times you have a constant fellowship with the Lord. You don't need to always end it at the moment. But don't discount the reality of Jesus' name, because that's the signed check. When I ask Him to save me, the Bible says, "Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." When I'm calling on the name of the Lord, I call in the name of Jesus upon the name of the Lord. Isn't that something? Makes sense, doesn't it? He is the signed check. I have entry through Him into the very throne room of God. And the Bible says in verse 24, "And the woman bare a son." Now, we've seen a few things already, and this is coming down to the end of the chapter. So notice this. We've seen there was no cry in Israel, right? No cry. It seemed like there was no chance. But when the angel of the Lord came, he said, there can be no compromise here. He says, this woman is going to have a son, and he needs to have these certain things met in his world. And when he meets these things, I will be able to bless him more. And so the Bible says, not only there was no cry, there was no chance, it seemed, no compromise, but now what we see is that there's no condemnation. That's what we see from the wife saying what she said. She saw, you know, "Hey, we saw God. We're going to die," is what the husband said. And she said, "No, no, think about it. We're still breathing. We're still here. It's going to be okay. God means good for us. Listen, God means good for us who are His children." And Israel represents as a nation, you and me as individuals. You may have moments and times where you swerve to the left and to the right, but the reality is their macrocosm reminds us that the microcosm of our life is no condemnation. In fact, it's said, isn't it? Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Isn't that good to know? Man, I'm grateful for that. Boy, if I didn't have God's word on it, I would have a hard time. I wouldn't parse the preacher's words. "Oh, what does that mean? I don't think so. And who are you to say?" No, I got God's word on that. And the Bible even tells us in 1 John chapter 3, it says, "If our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our hearts. But if our hearts condemn us not, we have confidence with God. Whatever we ask shall be done for us." And so the Bible says the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. Now, the word Samson is interesting. His name literally means sunlight. His name means like the sun. And when you think about him, remember this. This judge is a man who's supposed to go into the midst of the trauma the people of God are in. And he's supposed to bring some clarity. That's what judges do. Now, he's going to be a mighty man, and something's going to happen. We'll see it in the next verse. But understand that what happens with this man is what's supposed to happen with you and me. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." And that's something. You're supposed to let them see. You know, I don't know how you do that, personally. Sometimes it's okay to have a word of prayer over your food in a restaurant. And I think if you're a believer, you see somebody doing anything, that's nice. That's really nice to see, because you don't see it as often as perhaps they once did. But maybe you do it in other ways, like acts of mercy, making sure that you don't do certain things that might stumble somebody, making sure that you care for the lost that are around you in your neighborhood. You rein in your tongue if you're talking to somebody who has offended you in the neighborhood because, you know, that lost guy can't navigate those wires. He's just figuring that's the one thing I needed to know so I could discount this person. Bible says in verse 15 of chapter 2 in Philippians, God has intended that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. Listen, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So he's like the sun. And the Bible says that if we do as we're supposed to do, that we're going to be a savor of life unto life and a savor of death unto death. So if you turn the light on and somebody's exceedingly evil, they're not going to like you so much. You know, you've got to figure out a way to turn the light on little by little, incrementally, rather than blazing halogens in their eyes. You know? So part of your letting your light shine is to sneak up on some circumstances. As Paul said, to him that is under the law, I became as under the law. And to him that was not under the law, I became as not under the law. I became all things to all men that I might by all means save some. So I say to you, his name has meaning for us. The woman bare a son and called his name Samson. She had 9 months, and usually it's the man who calls the name, but she gave his name Samson, and for her it meant sunlight. You know what? That was sunlight for her. It was sunlight for the nation. She knew God was going to use him. And the Bible says, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that God showed up in his life in little ways. It means that God knelt down to help him. How do you get blessing? It's when God helps you. And you know that footprints in the sand poem, right? You know, why'd you leave me when everything was hard? No, I didn't leave you. I carried you, okay? That's what he does. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and lowly. He says, that's what I am. He says, I have this. My yoke is easy, I mean it's serviceable. It's exactly what you were made for. And my burden is light. He says, you think this is tough? Try doing the world you do without Jesus. Once you come to know him, you can't do it. So he condescends to us and he gets down. Now, he didn't have to. Like I said, this is the provision of the Lord in a dark time. 40 years, nobody's crying out. Nobody's saying, God, forgive me. God, help me. God, save me. And he finds somebody and he finds a spark and he begins to fan that flame. And now he is blessing the offspring. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move, verse 25, to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now this is in the center of Israel. Okay, this is in the center. This is where Dan was supposed to originally have settled, but they ran because they were beaten. You know, they couldn't get their victory, and they ran. They went all the way. You ever heard Dan to Beersheba? Remember? From Dan to Beersheba. They were all the way up here. That was where Dan settled. They should have been down here. This seems to be some of the purists, at least. They stayed in their inheritance area. And so they're real close down there to the southern borders, and they are able to be really close to the Philistines, and this is what it's saying about that. But listen, when it says the Spirit of the Lord moved, I want to close with this because you need to remember this. When it says that the Spirit of the Lord moved, you have to ask yourself, what does that look like? This is a good place to get a feeling for that. Because this is Hebrew. You know, Hebrew has only a few words where Greek has several, okay? So this word literally has the idea of to thrust. He moved. He thrusted in his soul. He caused him to yearn. He impelled him. And he agitated him. The Holy Spirit did that to Samson. And what you see is in the book of Romans, you get a little bit more of a development of this reality. The Bible says that when we get saved, that we glory in tribulations. What? Why? Because tribulation works patience, patience experience. Experience works hope, and hope, listen, hope makes not ashamed. It'll make you unashamed. Real hope will say, listen, I don't care what anything goes on in my world. God is good. God is my hope. He's my rock. And I will run to him. It says, and hope maketh unashamed. Why? Because of the love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. What's that mean? That means that when you truly get born again, you now have a love for somebody you might not have liked so much before. And as a result of that love of God being shed in your heart, you have different eyes to see them with when the Holy Spirit's in you. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. There it is. So how does he move? He constrains us. What? Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all were died. Dad, why does it constrain me? Why? Because I see them as being like I was. They're lost. I was lost. I get it. And it breaks my heart for that lost person. I'll tell you what, if you get out among the rough and tumble of the world today, it will break your heart how bad things are getting and how bad things have become. It's a crazy day. Romans 8, verses 5 and 6 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, because to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." This is 8, 5 and 6. 8, 9 says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God lives in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his." Now, think about that. The Spirit moved on Samson. So here's a young man that is growing up and he's being agitated and thrust forward and he's seeing it. Reminds us of Moses. Remember, he comes of age and he looks around and he sees his people being abused. And he says, "I got to do something." Listen, can I ask you? Do you feel like you got to do something? I mean, that's what he says the Spirit does. He moves us. He thrusts us. He agitates us. And it's not to complain. It's to enter in and bring them to salvation. The Bible says, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. You know what that means? He said you were dead from sin in chapter 6. You were freed from sin in chapter 6 and 7. And now he says, because you're dead and you're freed, what do you think? You're just going to sit there, you know, whatever that stuff was Han Solo was stuck in? Okay, he's stuck in perpetual idleness? No, he says, the raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He's going to animate your bodies. He's going to quicken your bodies. He's going to wake up your bodies. He's going to make your hands, your smile, your feet, your eyes, your thoughts, everything to get online with who God is. And that means you're going to help him in his great plan of redemption. And the Bible says in Romans 8:14, "For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And what is he saying in the context? He says, your mortal bodies are going to be quickened. He said in chapter 5, he said, you're going to have the love of Christ in you. You're going to love. And then he says in verse 16, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." And I conclude with this, because I want you to know this. This chapter is not just something put in here for no reason. A woman was found because a woman had a heart. A woman was found because she could be an ember. A woman was found because she was looking for something that was a heart's desire she didn't even know how to put her finger on. And God cared about that. He cares about you, your hurts, your heart's desire, your burdens. He cares about that. And as long as you continue to draw near to him, he'll give you a little bit more light as the days go on to understand and to see and to grow. And eventually you're going to say, wow, I saw him in my life. And when you see that, you begin to say, you know what? This has been hard and a journey, but the reality is he woke up my spirit and now I need to tell somebody else. Now listen, I struggle with the way and across America and the church today. You don't see a lot of people just getting saved in big groups. And when there's opportunities to evangelize and all of that, sometimes we're not all quick to jump in and say, count me in. I'll go out and go crazy with that for a little bit. All we do sometimes is we just think, oh, this is so wonderful. I like hearing the stories. I like this or that. But what we have to remember is when the Holy Spirit is in us and we're led by the Spirit, we'll mortify the deeds of the flesh, is said in there, between those verses, but then we will go and he will quicken our mortal bodies so we can do some good. You are lights. Some people out there think there's no hope, but if you live for Jesus, your walk will give them hope that maybe there's hope for them. Okay? So let's take that with us as we go our way here in a few minutes. Let's bow together for a word of prayer, shall we? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.